Turn to Revelation chapter 5, verse 1, or where we left off last week in Revelation. Now, this what we're going to talk about is I'm building off of some things that we looked at last week that are absolutely life-changing to me in my relationship to the Word of God. And what I'm trying to do is build in you a relationship to the Word of God. You have to look at the Word of God as something different than just a book. If that's all you can see the Bible as a book, you will miss much of what it's teaching. The Bible says that in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word what?
Was God.
So it's living. It's breathing. Okay, the Word of God is powerful. You're holding in your hands words from God. Do not pay attention to those who say it cannot be proven. It can be proven. It absolutely can be proven and is every day being proven to be accurate and correct. And also, it is proven by the way it is written that it has to be written by divine origin outside of our time dimension. It could not have been put together the way it is through human construct. We do know that over 40 people penned the words as was dictated by God to them by holy inspiration. And so God wrote the book, and that can be proven, even mathematically. I've given you some things before that proves that this book could not have come together the way it is through human instrumentation. The mathematical equations are too vast for man to take credit for that. So anybody that says, oh, this is just a book written by a bunch of men, have not studied the book. They don't have relationship to the book. So I'm trying to build in all of us a relationship to the Bible as so that we can have confidence that this book was written by God and God alone. Everybody say amen to that. I'm going to give you some guiding principles, and we're going to pick up with first, before we do that, let's read Revelation chapter 5, verse 1. That's our text verse for right now. You'll understand why this is coming about. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside. And then what does it say? Sealed with seven seals. Sealed. The book was sealed up. It was not open. It was sealed with seven seals. So that's our text verse. Let me give you the biggest principle that I've received in my years of studying the Bible. This is the biggest principle that I've run into. I want you to get it established in your mind as well. When a word from the eternal God is given to the earth, it is active and in operation from that time until its completion. Though it may seem to be delayed, that word is at work. Everybody say amen to that. Over the last couple of weeks, I've taken this principle. I've tried to run it from Genesis to Revelation to ensure of its property and of its value. And I find no place where this principle is denied. I want to read it to you one more time. I want you to listen to every syllable of this. Get it into your DNA. It will build your relationship with the Bible. When a word from the eternal God is given to the earth, doesn't matter what the word is. When a word from the eternal God is given to the earth, it is active and in operation from that time until its completion. Now let's pause right there. I'm going to remind you of something. We did not look into this the way I wanted to, but I'm going to share it with you just briefly here to give you an illustration of what we're talking about. Then we're going to look at some other illustrations. On the day of Pentecost, something amazing happened. First, right before Pentecost, 10 days prior to Pentecost, Jesus left the earth. in the presence of witnesses that saw him defy gravity and go up. An angel came down and spoke to those that witnessed it and said, "Why are you standing looking up into the sky?" Now, this perplexed the angel. It's not perplexing to you and I who are stuck in time and are made of human flesh. They were still awestruck by what they had just seen. Can I repeat to you what they saw? They saw Jesus defy gravity and rise up. Do y'all hear what I said? What would y'all think if I just started floating? They saw that. Jesus, in human form, went up out of sight. An angel said, "Why are you gazing up here in the sky? This same Jesus that you saw go up is going to come back in the same way." He said, "Now," and then the angel said, "So you tarry here." And the Lord spoke to him and said, "Tarry till you be endued with power," indicating there was a power coming that they had not yet encountered. 10 days later, they're doing all they know. They're tarrying together in a room, talking about probably what they've seen. What does it mean? What's God doing? What's going on? He's coming back. When's he coming? Would you not have had those questions? Then all of a sudden somebody says, "Well, let's just pray." So they start praying and they hear the sound of a tornado. That's what a rushing mighty wind is. It's literally tornadic winds. They heard the sound of a tornado but felt no wind. Then cloven tongues like as of fire, like as of fire, set upon them. And they were filled with a power that just 10 days earlier they were told they were going to encounter. And this power was the person of the Holy Spirit. Something had altered. Something had changed. So they go out, they're preaching Jesus, and everybody that looks at them says, "Look at them, they look drunk." That was what everybody that saw them thought. They look like they're drunk. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that what we experience in our worship services ain't coming close yet to what they had. Y'all look perfectly sober. Some of you look like you're zombies. Some look like you've been medically sedated. That's not what happened when they ran into the Holy Ghost. They were so filled with joy and happiness that it appeared like they were drunk. I'm going to ask you a question. How many of you believe the Bible's true? Peter had to interrupt everything and say, "Wait a minute, guys, they're not drunk like you think." That's how much they thought they were drunk. Peter had to stand up and say, "They're not drunk. This is that Joel spoke of." And what was that? Okay, now I'm going to tell you real quickly because this is important. Peter repeated the prophecy of Joel and he said, "In the last days, God said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Young men's going to have visions. Old men's going to dream dreams." When is this going to happen? In the last days. When did the last days start? That day. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. Are y'all hearing me? Okay. And watch. Listen to me. This is important. When the eternal God gives a word, it's active and in operation until its time of completion.
Right? This day is the same day as that day. Do y'all see that? Changes everything. This changes everything. Well, here's what it basically means. Whatever God did in that day, He's still doing in this day. Why? Because His Word is eternal. And it's been active in operation until its time of completion. I'm not going to go back and repeat the differences between the end and fulfillment, but those are different terms in the Bible. Okay? But here's what we know. That day is not completed yet because Jesus hasn't returned yet, like the angel said, in the middle of the air. Hello? Changes your doctrine a little bit. This is huge. I'm telling you, it's a huge principle. Okay? But I'm also telling you, this is a guiding principle that can set a relationship between you and the Word of God that'll change your life if you'll allow it to. You will never be the same if you embrace this and then get into the Word of God and build relationship with the Word of God and read it. And then you'll be able to say, wait a minute, there's a whole lot more to this than what I've been experiencing. I'm just telling you the truth. When God, who is out of time, speaks something into time, that means it is forever in time. That's important. We'll go on. When God speaks something to us, that means He has always been speaking it, and it will forever be. Did you hear that? Listen to it again. When God speaks something to us, when He gives a word to the earth, from that time it's active in operation. When God speaks something to us, that means He's always been speaking it. So, why? Because God's eternal. He's the one that was, is, and always will be. Alpha and Omega, beginning and end. He has no beginning. He has no end. Therefore, what He speaks, He's always spoken. Oh boy. I know it don't take much to flip Joey Gregg's mind, but the rest of us would have to admit that blows our mind, right? If He's speaking something, it means He's always spoke it. If He has always spoke it and He is speaking it, it means He's always going to speak it. The significance of that comes into our time dimension when we begin to understand things like this. We used this illustration last week of law and grace. Law was fulfilled by Christ. Pause, don't read no further, which you already have, but wait a minute. Law was fulfilled by Christ. Here's what Jesus said. So significantly important. Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. So that means that when God spoke the law, it's still in existence. Hello? But Jesus said, I come to fulfill the law. So if you're in Christ, then the law of God is fulfilled in you. But if you're not, the law is still in effect for you. What was the debate that God and Moses had on Mount Sinai? God said, Moses, I'll give you my law, but you can't live by it. It's too holy. The writer of the book of James in the New Testament, why would he be talking about the law if the law is done away with? The law's not done away with, folks. It's still active. It's still in operation. What did James say? If you've broken one of God's laws, you're guilty of all of them. So when you wave your little finger at somebody and say, look at that thief over there, can I tell you, you're just as much a thief as he is. Is there anyone here without sin? If you violated in one point, you're guilty of breaking all of the law of God. Be careful when you say something like this. Boy, I'll tell you one thing I'll never do. Watch it. Be careful. You're fixing to run headlong into a stop sign that's going to reveal to you just how wretched and dirty and vile you really are. That's why Jesus said inside of the fulfillment of the law, don't judge or you'll be judged by the same judgment. So the illustration was of law and grace. Law was fulfilled by Christ, but it's still in effect for those outside of Christ. How fearful. Now we know why the Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Look at this now. Watch this. Here's what we're going to do. Now, everybody say, I'm listening. All right. Revelation 5:1, in relationship to what we've at least got up here so far. Matter of fact, when you get it fixed, Joe, just shut it down. I'll go from here without it. When you get this into your system, into your spiritual DNA, go back to Revelation 5:1, and what do you have? A sealed book in the hands of God. Now, grab this. When a word from the eternal God is given to the earth, it's active in an operation from that time until its completion. That does not mean you see it. It may seem to be delayed from you. Just because something is written in the Word doesn't mean you understand it. Has anybody ever read something from the Bible and said, I don't know what that means? Has anybody heard me teach and say, I have no clue what the man's saying? That's right. I know you have. That's one of the frustrations. I'm trying. I was saying earlier, Haley loves to communicate sometimes even about her songs. She gets frustrated because she can't articulate what's in her mind. She's got it here. She has a problem articulating it out, what she's really thinking. A preacher gets up and preaches and he says, I've got this truth. But somehow it's not communicating out so people can see it. Watch this. Revelation 5:1 talks about a sealed book. But just because the book is sealed doesn't mean God didn't speak it and it's not in operation. Everybody say amen to that. Now I'm going to call your attention to an extremely important verse of scripture that we looked at one other time, but it's important that you get it. Isaiah 29, turn there. Isaiah 29, verse 11. I'm going to read to you two verses. Everybody say, I'm listening. Isaiah 29, verse 11. And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed. I mean, have you seen that? And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this and I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it's sealed. Look at verse 12. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Indicating that it's unsealed, but he has no teacher with which to teach him the words that have been opened up. Now, I'm going to say some things at this point, and I don't want to get too far ahead, but I need to say what's in my heart. This is extremely important, and I'm going to ask you some questions at this point, okay? How many of you believe Jesus is going to return to the earth? How many of you believe that Jesus one day is going to establish his kingdom on the earth? How many believe he's going to rule and reign on this earth? Can I tell you that I just ask you questions that is the source of the largest debate among Christian thinkers and scholars of our day. There's a debate going on now that the kingdom of the Lord is not a literal kingdom, but it's just all a matter of it being in your heart. Okay? Now watch. If the kingdom is just merely in your heart and there's no literal kingdom, it voids this truth. This no longer is true. I'm going to explain to you what I mean by that. And this goes back to the sealed book. I'm going to open to you some seals for a minute. Do you remember Daniel 12, verse 4? And here's what God said, Daniel, write these words, but seal them up. Till when? Till the time of the end. Now watch this. God spoke the word. We're going back to this principle. God spoke the word to Daniel. And that word was operational and active at that moment. Yet no one understood it until the time of the end. Are you hearing me? But the lack of understanding didn't stop the word from being performed. Everybody say amen. There's a popular view, as a matter of fact, this may surprise you, because especially where we live in this area, but did you know that the mainstream view of Christianity today is that there is no rapture? Did you know that? Most people tie the rapture to the second coming. Or they do away with the kingdom age altogether and they're now looking for a new heaven and a new earth. And here's what they base that on. They say that the book of Revelation has already been fulfilled and is merely a historical writing. That it was fulfilled in AD 70. How many of you are still listening to what I'm saying? I'm fixing to tell you why it's significant, why it's important. God gave the writing of the book of Revelation to John. Some argue a span of 30 years, whether it was in AD 66, but somewhere between AD 66 and AD 96, John on the Isle of Patmos received the revelation. If this is true, that revelation was operational, active at that moment, all the way till its completion. Am I right? Indicating that the sealed book was already being delivered. It was already in operation. Even though there's some that couldn't unseal it. And then there was some that knew that it was unsealed but still didn't understand it because they were unlearned. I shared a little bit of this with you before. I'm building to something here, so please bear with me, okay? I shared a little bit of this with you before, but hear this. When you take historical events, tie them to the Word of God, you can prove that they are partially right. The book of Revelation has been being fulfilled since the time it was given. Titus comes in AD 70, and he destroys the temple, fulfilling the sign of Matthew 24, that the end of the age would be marked when they destroy this temple. Jesus said not one stone would lay upon another. One of the decrees of Titus when they come into Jerusalem was, don't leave one stone upon another in the temple. Tear it all down. They marked that time as the fulfillment of the book of Revelation. Denying the kingdom age, denying the rapture, denying all of these things all the way up to the new heaven and the new earth. Here's the problem. If the book of Revelation was fulfilled then, where's the new heaven and the new earth at? Hello? If the book of Revelation was fulfilled then, what thousand-year period was Satan locked up in the pit? Are y'all with me? Here's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that the book of Revelation is in a perpetual state of being fulfilled since the time it was given all the way until it is completed. When will it be completed? When there's a new heaven and a new earth. So these seals have been at work. So has the trumpet judgments. So has the vial judgments. But we're only seeing it partially until they are completely fulfilled. And when they are filled up, that means that the completion of this word has been completed and you move to the next age or the next dispensation. Are you with me? Everybody say, I at least understand. Whether you agree with it or not, tell me you at least understand it. I want to break a myth here, and I'm kind of flying in a way
that I want you to truly understand what is being said. We have two covenants. One Old Testament, one New Testament. Okay? If you are of the mindset that there is no kingdom age, then that you fall to a lie of Bible interpretation that says this: the church has now replaced Israel. It's called replacement theology. Now, you would say, some of you are saying, yeah, well, this does not interest me. It better interest you, because this is the biggest heresy and lie that the church is coming under today. And it's weakening our proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you believe that the church has replaced Israel and God has no more program for Israel, then you are sadly missing all of the New Testament. And you say, well, why is that so significant? I want you to hear me again. When God gives a word to the earth, it's in operation, it's active until its completion. Now I want to take you back to Genesis chapter 12 and give you some understanding of what is sealed from some people's eyes and what should be open to ours. There was this man called Abraham. How many of you remember him? God made a covenant with him. Did you know God made a covenant with him? How many of you understand that God made a covenant with one man called Abraham? It was a big covenant. As a matter of fact, when God gave Abraham that covenant, he ensured that it would be in operation and active from that time all the way now, because it's still not completed. It's still in effect. It's still operational. Here's some things, some elements of that covenant he made with Abraham. Listen to this. He said to Abraham, I'm going to bless you and make you a great nation. As a matter of fact, I'm going to bless you and make you a great nation to the point that other nations will be blessed or cursed by the relationship to you. Hello? The covenant named Abraham the father of Israel. Now, watch this. Abraham then became to the earth a representation of God the Father. Some even refer to Abraham as Father Abraham, had many sons. Many sons had Father Abraham. You with me? And what did the Father do with his son? Like God the Father, Abraham had to take his only son to Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice. But Abraham had no fear. Matter of fact, he even informed his only son, don't worry about it, son. God's going to provide himself a sacrifice. Hello? So Abraham knew this. Even if Isaac was killed on the altar, God would raise him up. But it had to be a picture for man to follow. It was God unsealing a book so that we could see it. Please say amen. Amen. Abraham got right ready to sacrifice Isaac, and God said from heaven, stop. You are the one I can make a covenant with because you will believe my words. Everybody say amen. Amen. Many people don't understand that. Why? Because it's sealed. You have to have deep walk with God for the mysteries of God to be unsealed. You got to trust God more than you trust your understanding in order to understand it. You following me? Okay, so that was the Abrahamic covenant. All right, watch this. There's other covenants. There's something called, some people call it the Palestinian covenant. It's actually the land covenant. Extremely important. God made a covenant about land.
He went into a contract about land. It's outlined in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And God said this in that covenant. He said, hey, I'm going to border out this land for my people to possess. Did y'all hear that? God said that. Now watch this, listen. People may argue over whose land it is, but that word has been in operation and is active from the time God spoke it till now.
Amen.
God bordered out the lands. What political idiot come by and said, oh, we can have a two-state solution? You're going to negotiate with God? He holds the deed. Please say amen to the truth.
Amen.
Israel itself can give away pieces of that property. And they have. As negotiating for peace, it's never worked. You know why? It's not their land to give away. It belongs to God. God said, this is the... Now we know why God said this in His Word. He said, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and what? Heal their what? Their land. Land is significant to God. When God dropped that word about land into our time dimension, it's been active and in operation ever since. I'm going to give you another covenant real quick. This is important. The Davidic covenant. You ever heard of it? It was a covenant God made with David. How many of you have ever got these Christmas cards? For unto us a son is given, a child is born, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders. How many of you have seen that? Is that in the Bible? Isaiah. Chapter 9, remember? Okay, now listen to me. Everybody say, I'm listening. I want to concrete this into your brain because this is one of the strategic attacks of Satan that's coming against the church. Hear me. For unto us a child is born. Was that a literal child? For unto us a son is given. Is that a literal person being talked about? Respond. You've got to respond. It was. And the government shall rest upon his shoulders. It just kind of falls right into place that if it's a literal person, it's a literal government. Hello?
Yeah.
So if it's a literal king, it's a literal kingdom. And here's part of the Davidic covenant, a promise God made to David. God said to David, there will always be one to sit on your throne. And who is that one that's going to sit on the Davidic throne? It was the one born, Jesus. It's a literal kingdom. Somebody needs to understand this. Jesus Christ himself is going to come back from heaven to earth and establish his kingdom in Jerusalem on the throne of David and rule and reign for 1,000 years on this earth while Satan is chained up in the lake of fire.
Amen.
Y'all believe that? So, do you know what you're agreeing to? You're saying that everything prior to that is still operational and in effect right now. I'm building something that's extremely important. I'm going to bust a myth for you. Okay? And we've talked briefly about this before, but y'all know I'm repetitive. This big idea that the rapture is not in the Bible. What foolishness. What foolishness that is. I heard a very learned philosopher and he had a doctor's degree, had a lot of letters after his name. You know the kind? PhD, MICKEYMOUSE kind of letters. Just on and on and on after his name. And he was mocking and making fun of those that believed in the rapture of the church. Stating that this started with Darby in the 1900s and, and Bullinger. And if you know anything about the Word of God, I've got Darby's books. I've got Bullinger's books. I've read those books. Whether you know it or not, you were affected by John Darby and E.W. Bullinger. Most of you have a belief system that was structured after what those great men of God brought in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. There was something in England called the Powers Court Conferences, and they would get together in a round table and discuss the Word of God and discuss these issues. And what is popular among those that are trying to deny the rapture of the church and the coming of the Lord in the middle of the air is that this idea of the rapture started then. No, it didn't. Didn't start then. How ridiculous. Listen, you can trace it back to Paul the Apostle. I'm going to tell you where this denial of the literal kingdom began. There was a guy in the first century named Origen. He allegorized the Bible. He made symbols out of the Bible. He said, the Bible, you can't take it literally. It's full of symbols. And he said, that's why that we have to. And he handed this to Augustine, who did great things for the church, but he also did something that was bad for the church. Augustine grabbed a hold of this way of interpreting the Bible through allegory and symbols, making it all symbols. And here's what they said. That's why the kingdom is not a literal kingdom. It's just a kingdom to be set up in your heart. Now, why would they have done that? You want me to tell you why? There was a lot of evil kings. They didn't want to hear that there was a coming king that was going to destroy their kingdom. If I can tell you the truth, they were trying to be politically correct. That's what's happening to the church now. The church is trying to figure out a way they can be politically correct and stay with the teaching of truth. You can't. Everybody say amen. So they come up with this theory that the kingdom's only in your heart. It's not going to be a literal kingdom. And so they have to deny that there is a rapture and a kingdom. So that means the church had to replace Israel. I want to remind you of something. Even in the first century church, they were so anti-Semitic, all they wanted to do was kill the Jews. That's been going on since that time. Hello? I wish we had time to outline all of this for you, but here's what you'll learn about Israel. When God established Israel, He would give them a mandate or a command, and they'd never obey it till the second time. They would disobey, and God would send punishment. Then they would repent, and God would restore them. They would disobey, God would send punishment. Then they'd repent, and God would restore them. They would disobey, and God would send punishment. And then they would repent, and God would restore them. The Messiah came the first time, and they rejected Him. But they won't reject Him the second time. Y'all with me? It's a pattern all the way through the Word of God. You can follow it from Genesis all the way through. It was the second time. It was always the second time. Listen to me. Jesus is coming twice. Once in the middle of the air, the second time to establish His kingdom on the earth. I'm so passionate about this, I can't hardly stand it. I'm going to read to you another passage in just a minute, but hear this real, real close. When Jesus comes in the middle of the air, He's coming for His people. When He comes the second time, He's coming with His people. Cannot be the same event. When He comes in the middle of the air, not everybody's going to see it. But when He comes the second time, the Bible said, every eye shall see Him. Has to be two different events. Are y'all with me? So those who say the rapture's not in the Bible have not studied the Bible. Also, I'm going to say this. Now hear me. We get back to the sealed thing. We've been taught, guarantee you, in our systematic theology. Watch. Systematic theology, big phrase. It carries a whole lot. Every denomination in Christian faith has what's called a systematic theology. You go get a book that's entitled Systematic Theology, and all of them have the same things about it. It's the doctrine of Christ. It's the doctrine of God. It's the doctrine of man, the doctrine of salvation, all the doctrine of demons, the doctrine of angels, all these different demons. But every systematic theology book leaves out one thing, and that's the doctrine of Israel. Won't find it. It's nowhere in any systematic book. Why? Because the church in the first century was trying to do away with Israel just like they are now. The church hasn't replaced Israel. What God spoke for Israel is still in operation. It's still active, and there is still a natural Israel that will reap natural consequences and natural rewards. Israel's an earthly people with earthly promises. The church, a heavenly people with heavenly promises. God promised rich blessings on the earth to Israel. He promised you and I treasures from heaven that moth and rust cannot corrupt.
Oh, dear God, I hope this will be just a little bit unsealed to you, that you can see some of this. I'm going to tell you something here. The rapture was foretold of and prophesied of even in the Old Testament. Now, I'm saying that based off of our systematic thinking, which I agree with in part, that says this. The Old Testament prophets didn't see the church. I believe that. But it don't mean that they didn't speak about the church. They spoke words that were sealed. We have the illustration of that in the book of Daniel. Seal it to when? The end times. Just because they didn't see it don't mean that they didn't speak it. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
I'm going to give you this important word here, and I hope you'll bear with me. Turn to Isaiah 26. I'm just going to read it, and then we're done. We'll pick up with Isaiah 26 next time. And I'll guarantee you that if the Holy Spirit unseals some of these things to your eyes. Now, I'm giving you this. You test it. You test all of this. Test all of this. But I want us to learn something here. If you take Isaiah 26 and you lay it down in comparison to John 14, you have almost a perfect parallel. And I'm going to read to you starting with let's start with verse 11. Well, no, go down to verse 17. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in the dust. For thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Pay close attention to this next verse. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers, and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment. Watch this, until the indignation is past. Y'all hear that? For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. If that's not a picture of the rapture of the church, I don't know what is. See, in the church, watch, there's neither Jew nor Gentile, bond nor free. Are you with me? God still has a program for natural Israel, but in this mystical body of the church, here's what the prophet Isaiah is foretelling of. He's saying to the people of Israel, hey, there is coming a time when if you trust in the Messiah, the coming Messiah, then you will be hidden while the indignation is going on the earth. Are you with me? Please say amen to the truth. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. The tribulation time was not for the church, but for Israel.
Jeremiah the prophet confirmed that it's the time of Jacob's trouble. Guess where you're going to be while the indignation is taking place on the earth? Hidden in the pavilions of heaven with our Savior and our Redeemer. Now, I'm closing up here. We have not scratched the surface of chapter 5. I feel the need to press on into chapter 6 of Revelation to show you why this word's so important. The seals are already opened. They have been since John received the revelation. They're not fulfilled, and they won't be till we're gone. But they are in process. How many earthquakes do we have before we agree that there's earthquakes in diverse places? How many wars must there be until we believe there are wars and rumors of wars? How many Christians must have their heads chopped off in Sudan and Iran before we realize we have martyred saints? How many new diseases must be released before we realize that the fourth seal is opened? I'll show you, I believe, through your relationship with the Word of God, when in the chronological order of Revelation, if you want to go there, the rapture takes place. But can I tell you that we have been seeing AD 70 since AD 70. And here we are in 2023, and we will continue to see it progress and increase on the earth until the time of our departure, when the Father says to His Son, "Now." And Jesus comes in the middle of the air. You better be ready, because Jesus has been standing, I believe this, on the ready to appear in the middle of the air since He left. Until that time, here's the word. Okay, here's the word. You ready? Until that time, when that happens, guess what? God is still pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. Sons and daughters are prophesying. Young men are seeing visions. Old men are dreaming dreams, because this day is a part of that day until this day is completed and fulfilled, and we join Him in a new day. I think it's going to be important we take advantage of all of the Word that's in operation. I'm not sure we're going to survive with our faith intact if we don't. That's why you can't do away with gifts. That's why you can't do away with supernatural power. I stand before you today, an instrument of God's supernatural healing grace. I should have died. Joe, we should have buried him 6-7 years ago. No reason at all for him to be here. With the kind of cancer he had, no, you don't live through that. You don't live with a ruptured appendix.
Not a cancerous.
No, not a cancerous ruptured appendix anyway. You don't live through that. Listen to me. I'm not special, neither is Joe. Y'all should have been dead before you got here. Don't think there's not an assignment against every one of you to take you out. You're here because of the supernatural power of the protecting military angels God has assigned to guard your way. You better start activating the word God's dropped to the earth. He did it for you. Array yourself and make yourself ready for battle. We are at
war. Somebody ring the bells of praise. Somebody shout glory to God. Act drunk. Get filled up with the Holy Spirit. And that way, when the clouds darken all around you, there's a smile on your face with your hands up in the air saying, praise God. Hallelujah. Just praise God. To God be the glory. Great things He hath done. If you walk away with anything, we're going to continue to build on this. Walk away with this. When God drops a word to the earth, it's still working. It's still in operation. God ever made you a promise? It's still a promise. God ever spoke to you something? He's still speaking it. Amen? Let's bow for prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for your grace, for your word. There might be somebody here to say, you know what? Something. It doesn't matter what it was, but something was said that arrested my attention to something in my life, and I want you to pray for me. Hold your hand up. There you go. Father, you see all these hands. I pray, God, in Jesus' name, you'll give them what they need for this hour. Now, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to ask you to do this for me. If you've been walking with God any length of time, there's been times in your life where you felt like, you know what, I believe God spoke to me. And there's been that one thing, that one word, it's just always there. And you say, I've not seen the fulfillment of that word, but it always comes to my mind, always keeps coming back. Is that somebody here? Raise your hand if that's you. There's a word that God spoke to you. Yeah, there's several of you. And it always keeps coming back to your mind. And watch. Awful easy to lose sight of that promise or that word. Watch. That word is working right now. That word to your heart is working right now. It's in operation right now. It's active right now until it's completed and fulfilled. So, Father, I pray that we won't lose faith in the word that you've spoken to our hearts, but that we'll claim it and walk in it. Those promises made. Now, I'm going to pray a big prayer here because we have authority on the Word of God to do that. And I'm hoping that this will be suitable to everybody here. God, we pray that you will disrupt the unnatural demonic assignments and deliver us from unnatural and natural disobedience into supernatural power. I don't know if you can hear that or if you can have faith in that, but if you can, there'll be an unusual deposit of power in your life. And from that unusual deposit from heaven, you'll be able to forgive like our pastor is instructing us to. You'll be able to love like our pastor instructed us to. You'll be able to walk in peace like our pastor instructed us to, because God's still speaking forgiveness to the earth. He's still speaking love to the earth. He's still speaking peace to the earth. So, Lord, we honor you for your word. Take these rambled thoughts and make sense of it to the hearts of the people that listen. And we'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name.